Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Brian Malkowitz.
Hello.
And some of you may know that Tefty Tef was supposed to be on the show. There was a little bit of a scheduling issue where we had to record a little bit earlier. We are going to have him on again in the future. And sorry, Tefty, if you end up watching this. I feel a little bad. But anyway, we will have you back on the show. And I apologize for the miscommunication. On today's show, here's what we're going to be talking about. The delay, the raid changes, the how that stuff's going to work, the event, what we think of the event, the new armors and the armor grind, how we feel about the legendary requirements. Let's get right into it. What do you guys think is the biggest topic? Is it the event that's going on right now, the delay, or the raid?
The delay.
The delay.
Yeah,
okay.
The delay.
So let's start with that. So Bungie put out a weekly update basically saying that they are delaying Shadowkeep 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And they let the community know right away. And they kind of said a few other details about when it's going to launch. Here's what they said. The world's first for the new raid, Garden of Salvation. We have a name.
Raid name. Yeah.
We'll be on Saturday.
There it is.
October 5th.
Thank
it's
you,
a weekend
Bungie.
Raid race.
Thank
and
you.
Contest will be active. Moments of Triumphs are going to be extended through September 17th. We're going to run additional Iron Banner the week of September 17th as well. And Cross Save will come online later this summer. How many weeks are left of summer? Two? Three?
Well, summer lasts August, through so. August. And I think for a little bit of September.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Well, it's on the way. We got to move to Steam soon. There's like the whole Steam thing. And basically what they said is it has become increasingly clear to us that our release for this fall would benefit from a bit more time in the oven. Here's the thing. This is great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We get to play Borderlands 3.
I was dreading that. I was like, we get 3-4 days with Borderlands 3 before Destiny 2 comes out. Now I'm actually glad that we're getting that 2 weeks of buffer.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are feeling that way. And it's funny, though, because I was wondering at first when we were looking at that and seeing it come out, what the reception was going to be. And it seems, for the most part, positive overall. But I do like how they announced a bunch of miscellaneous details of other things simultaneously. So it didn't just be
that's to delude the sadness of a delay.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, it's delayed. And if they had said only that, that would have not been, I think, the best way to go about that.
The additional context is great. Here's some of the other stuff coming out the week it would have launched. Monster Hunter World Iceborne, September 6th. Borderlands 3, September 13th.
Yep.
They moved to October 1st. So they are coming up against Breakpoint. Call of Duty's end of the month, and Outer Worlds is also end of the month. I think this is a much better window.
Yes.
Near the end of the month, we have like Code Vein, FIFA 20, Tropico 6, but I don't think those are direct competitors for Destiny 2 Shadowkeep. So
yeah, I mean, Borderlands is the direct competitor, but even Modern Warfare, you know, jumps in there at the end of October. Mm-hmm. It's obviously going to, you know, I mean, there's just Call of Duty fans, period, but I would say the bigger crossovers between Borderlands and Destiny.
Do you think some of this has to do with how close Borderlands releases to Shadowkeep?
So I was wondering if you were going to ask that. Or
yeah, like,
you
I mean, like, you got to think about, like, you got to think, I know they're not with Activision.
Borderlands and Iceborne.
Yeah.
Two big,
really big things.
Big competitors
like,
for Destiny.
If you think about, I know that Bungie's not with Activision anymore, but, like, take a look at, like, how I know this is a much bigger Titan, but no pun intended.
Titanfall.
is that when Rockstar announced their release date, and it was a November release.
And everybody got
everybody
out of the
went
way.
Around it. Like Call of Duty, another titan of the industry.
Yeah.
Always a November release date. It was like October. We're going in October. Because they're like, no one wanted to go up against that game. So like I can imagine the same thing happening. I'm sure they also will benefit from the extra 2 weeks.
So
of course, like any developer that is able to delay like that, it's good. They're just going to be able to polish things more. And
yeah.
And I'm always fine with them doing that.
Here's, I mean, they haven't done it, I don't think, historically at all. Like, while Destiny, I mean, obviously their initial launch of Destiny, but prior to that, I don't think this has ever been done since any of the DLCs
I think,
have been announced.
Yeah, I don't.
So,
like
for Destiny, Bungie just in general, I don't know about their delay history. Did they ever delay
I think
the Halos?
I think technically Rise of Iron has existed because they wanted another year for Destiny.
Yes,
2.
But it was never.
It wasn't it wasn't a technical delay because we didn't know when Destiny 2 was launching.
But that's what I mean. They've never actually like had a release date and then pushed
exactly
it back.
That's what it was.
Even the launch date of Destiny 2, I think they actually moved forward a few days on account of it was supposed to be like September 9th and it released September 6th.
Right.
Or
something.
Yeah. But so what I was going to say is I think that this is good from a few ways, only because there's so many different things coming up with this next DLC that we've never had in the past. And look, Destin, there's a couple things I mentioned about, like, you know, there's a lot of dates that have changed now. Like, you know, Season of Opulence is, I think, still the same, but then Cross Save is happening earlier. Like, some of the
I went through.
I'm actually like,
so yeah,
10 seconds ago.
Yeah, I know, but then the official dates on every single one of them, right? Like, it's nice that those things are staggered, so it's not going to be, oh, here's like a crap ton of changes all at one time, and now you're also worried about the raid, and you're worried about the new content, and you're worried about this, and you're worried about that. So it is nice that it's kind of staggered.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Here's what Mark and Luke put together. They said, this fall is the first step on a journey for what our teams want Destiny 2 to become, a place for you and your friends to play anytime, anywhere, owning the action MMO and RPG elements that we love about the game and crushing barriers to entry for friends. We just need a bit of extra time to take the first step. Now, here's the thing. I imagine Luke saying that, and I remember Mark saying that, and that message is read very differently depending on who, would have read that.
My biggest takeaway from that is the part where he says, this is the beginning of the journey. Our team wants Destiny 2 to go in. So it's like,
yeah,
man, they have so
Destiny
many more
Destiny 3
plans.
Not happening.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. Like, I think we already know
Brian
that Destiny
Malkowitz,
3. I think we already know that Destiny 3 is happening at some point. I'm pretty sure they said that, but... it's just crazy that they still have so many more plans for Destiny 2. Like, they're saying this is the start of a journey of where we want Destiny 2 to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is us entering the third year of Destiny 2.
Yeah.
By this time, like in Destiny 1, we had known that Destiny 2 was like on the horizon.
Yeah.
Like, but here they're talking about like starting something new.
Yeah. I mean, there was still no official talk of it, you know, back when Rise of Iron was out. It took, I think, until March for leaks to come up. And,
yeah.
You know, see posters and stuff like that from those GameStop crew. But it's weird. It does seem like it could be going for a while. Now, these armor photos, we're just looking at some pictures here.
Yeah.
Those look really cool. I think, you know what, again, I'm a Hunter guy, but Titan for sure has got the best
armor. Titan's got the best armor. Yeah. Second is Hunter. Warlocks, what the hell's going on with that weird mask?
It's like
I don't like
mask.
It at all. I'm a Warlock main. I do not like that
it
weird mask thing.
Well,
Titan has some great looking armor. That's fantastic.
The Titan astronaut armor, is that what you're talking about? Yeah, so I think the astronaut armor looks a lot like the set you can get on Titan,
it looks very
which is an astronaut.
This looks more like the armor that they were wearing in the very first cutscene,
the launch cutscene of
Dean 1 when they landed on Mars and they saw is that Mars when they found the Traveler the first time.
Well, to me, the Hunter set looks like a one-eyed mask for hunters. Like that.
It does. You're right. It does. But that I don't even want to talk about the Warlock.
The Warlock looks like the Strike set from not Mindbender, but that the other one, like the scattered.
It, you know sort what it really looks like? It looks like somebody made a really bad Eris Morn Halloween mask.
That's exactly what I was going to say. All the rest of them, the whole armor looks good. It's just the helmet. It's just the mask that looks odd in the Warlock situation. I mean, the Hunter
it's got the three eyes like for Eris, Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
Eris made it for you.
Yeah.
Eris made it for you. Do you know how long she spent knitting that?
I'm sorry, Eris. Thank you.
Brian, not digging it.
I love the astronaut.
The other two are great. I love the other two.
Yeah. The astronaut's sort of fun. It's a little silly to think that you're going to don an astronaut set. But I'm excited to see this. And I am excited to see a look at some of the armors that we can expect to acquire within this new event.
Yeah.
We have a lot to reveal between now and October 1st. The blog will be lively next week with some information on cross-save, PC migration, and everything else you'll need to know to kick ass this fall.
Boom. And that was the reason why I think, you know, that delay and some of these staggered dates now is really good. So Raid on Saturday. Can we go there? Because I
Thank
feel
you,
like
Bungie.
Yeah, like Fran, dude, I don't know how many times. I mean, we could probably do a smash cut of every time Fran has said that in the last year and a half to 2 years. So.
Make it on a Saturday?
Fran gave him a shout out and yeah, like make it Saturday. So it is Saturday now.
Yeah, basically they moved it. Content drops on October 1st, raids on October 5th.
Yeah.
Totally fine with this.
Yeah.
This sounds great. I think it'll give more people a chance to compete.
Yep.
You know,
contest rule still in effect for
yeah, contest. 24 hours. Contest will still be there.
Yep.
And yeah, this sounds excellent to me. I think it's a smart move. Is there any way we could find to complain about this?
I mean,
how could we complain about it?
Let's see.
Part of me hopes that they like...
Oh, I got to take Saturday off.
That's my day off. I don't want to play
now,
video
Justin,
games.
You're married now.
All right.
Yeah, wife's not going to like that. Those are the weekend days. Family, kids. No, I think that these are all... this is really good. Now, there's a lot of games coming out prior to that launch. So, I mean... Now, you guys did that whole grind.
That's what I'm hoping that is, like, not going to be
well,
a thing.
And here's
for
the
me,
thing. I typically avoided it now just because I don't want to commit to anybody. And then as well, like, we're building these studios and there's a bunch of other stuff going on here. So I'm just thinking of, you know, the amount of time and energy that it takes. Now, at least if you take the time and energy, you'd probably be able to run the raid for a couple days and feel like you could do your 24-hour marathon.
Yeah.
Will you do that?
Me? I don't know if I'm going to compete this raid race.
Interesting. Why not?
I don't know. I just...
For me...
I've done it so many times. Like, we did it, right?
Destin and I did the raid race together, you know. Yeah. You know, it's less about the raid race day, because that's actually the fun part. Mm-hmm. That's actually really enjoyable, is, like, getting into the raid and not knowing anything and just, like, figuring all these puzzles out. But my biggest problem is how much you need to play before the raid launches. And I'm not just talking about the day of. I'm talking about the month or month and a half leading up to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a part of me is hoping that Bungie builds it in a way that when the new season starts, like, nothing you did prior to that reset will benefit you going into the raid.
Yeah.
So that way everybody is literally on the same playing field and goes into the raid exactly the same.
Yeah, we don't really know what is going to happen, what to expect with how the raid prep's going to work. I do hope that it's like an even starting line. You know, I've done enough of these raids where, like, usually it's a lot of playing, and I think that negatively impacts my enjoyment of each expansion, and I just want to take it at a little bit more casual pace. What do we finish, Brian? We finished, like, top 100, right?
Yeah, we finished in the top
60th.
But that was that for even us, like, you know, us having to take a break and, like...
Yeah,
come back the next day to finish it.
I'm the one that had to call it, because I'm like, we're not making progress.
Well, yeah, the problem with it is, like, if your team doesn't finish it before a certain time, everyone's going to be tired, and, like, you're not going to progress, because people are just getting worse and worse in their mindset.
Yeah.
And, like, people just want to go to sleep, and it's like, oh, we just need to get this done. But it's like, your brain is just going to get worse and worse from this moment on.
Absolutely.
And you got to call it.
It is amazing how that happens in Destiny raids, and I mean, I think we can all remember moments where that's occurred. Might have told the story before. A friend of mine was doing Crota on hard mode for about 5 or 6, you know, hours, and they couldn't do it. And then one of them left, and then they...
It falls apart.
But then they were like, okay, we're going to shut it down. I was like, oh, I don't know, let me jump in. Like, I'll see if I can help out. And I was fresh, and I'm not saying, hey, I was the reason they beat the raid. But we did it 2 times, and then we beat it. And the buddy who left was so mad. But that's because you just get in these
moments. That's how France team done it. They got new people in, and they finally beat it.
Yeah, and it's because you just are in this. You're in a mode where you're just, like, playing so long, you're so frustrated, you just can't do it. And, yeah, you could literally probably shut the game off for, like, an hour, come back, you know, or get some rest. Same folks, and just do it again. You just need a little bit of...
And I think that's exactly how we did it. Like, we took the night, like, I think we just stopped at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, maybe 4.
It was pretty late.
Yeah,
I was not feeling well.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like...
Because we did the grind, then the raid launches, and then we grinded for, like, it was, like, another 8 hours or 6 hours after that. So, like, we had been playing 15 hours or something.
Yeah.
And crazy.
When we came back, you know, we all had some sleep. We came back, and we did it in 2 tries.
Yeah. Well, remember, contest was off when we came back.
Contest was off, so, like, we did get that initial, like, we were no longer.
And then it was just like, we did it, like,
yeah,
two,
we
two
did
three.
It. Yeah, like, we just weren't getting the mechanics down, and then, like, when we came back, we just got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. I think it allows the people who like to do these raids competitively for a contest, and, you know, they're trying to get Worlds First, do that. But it also gives the people who are not trying to do it, like you said, you just want to take it a little bit more of a casual pace. Mm-hmm. For those people who want to play the game, you know, quote, quote, casually for the 4 or 5 days leading up to it, wherever power they end up doing, you know, and getting to, they can still play the raid and spend most of like a Saturday and or Sunday playing it. Now, it does change a little bit when you're overseas. They have, you know, it's Sunday for them, but it is one of those things that I think it's better. It's the first time it's on a weekend, so I think it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, also another consideration for doing the raid races, both you and I, Brian, have a lot more responsibilities at IGN this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit more challenging for us to dedicate the amount of time that we need to dedicate in order to do it. I mean, maybe we could just do it super casual, like just grind after
that's
work
the thing is like
and just
that.
do it like, hey, like we didn't really prep, let's just go in and try.
Yeah, and the thing is it's like we don't know like what the raid prep is going to be around this time, like, because Bungie could announce and say, hey, like I was saying earlier, is that, hey, like nothing you do prior to raid day is going to benefit you when starts. So that way, you know, however many hours, assuming that the raid launches at, you know, 10 a.m. on Saturday's reset, or if it launches like they did with Crown of Sorrow where it launched later in the day. If I myself prefer that, like we don't have to do a whole bunch of raid prep leading up to the raid's launch.
Yep. Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. Yeah, maybe we'll still do it casually. I haven't decided, so that was a difficult question for me to even consider because, you know, I thought about like how the last few ones have gone and just like I keep talking about like it's the best experience ever and simultaneously like
the worst.
Not healthy in some ways.
Yeah, it's like, it's for me the decision weighs on how much is needed to play up until the raid. That's it.
Yeah.
That's really the deciding factor for me.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. What else do we got? We really like the new armors. Let's talk about the event going on this week.
Solstice.
What's the name of the location?
Heroes. Oh, EDZ. European Aerial Zone.
Yeah. Aerial Zone, yeah. So I ran it before the show for the first time. I finished out my green set helmet, and I saw all the other requirements. You know, I just need to get some time and play it. But here's the thing. A few weeks back, we were sort of negative about how the chest glitch went away for Season of Opulence and the Menagerie.
And you were mad about that?
Well, we didn't like that, like, it's one drop for, like, a 20-minute activity.
Like, they should have maybe changed the timer to 90 seconds and then, or done something else so it wasn't just a, single chest open.
Yeah, so, yeah, I guess I've been having that conversation with guests.
I watched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Solstice of Heroes and how this new event works. Basically, you go in and there's targets that you have to take out. You take out all those targets, then you take out the final boss, and then you get a timer. And based on the number of things that you've killed, you get that many chests.
Right.
This is a great system for reward players, I think.
Yeah,
and
I think it's great.
I think it's sort of something that they were, like I always say, I'm like, all right, Solstice is pretty interesting. You're pretty close. You're onto something here. I feel like this is a test for something that's coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few weeks.
Here it is.
We have Solstice of Heroes. I'm like, all right, they've refined the formula again, and they were developing something sort of in the same vein that I ended up enjoying quite a bit.
What did
you think of it, Brian?
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the armor requirements.
The grind.
Just because it's a heavy grind that we've done, thank you, Destin,
yeah,
a thousand times before. And so I'm kind of just a little demotivated to get the Majestic set.
Yeah.
Even though I know I'm going to do it because I'm like one or two triumphs away from getting the Moments of Triumph title.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's PvP requirements in there too, right?
I know. But I don't know what they fully are, but I know that at least the green sets just like kill 10 people. But
they do look awesome.
I love these sets.
They're really good.
I've been working on my Hunter. I think that's the set that I'm going to go for out of all of them. I like all of them equally.
The biggest.
There are ways to do it too. You can just like wait and like finish out one set, then get the others an easier way. At least I think that's what I've read on Reddit. I haven't played too much of the event. I played it 2 times.
Yeah.
Right. And I was able to get fairly far with the green set, but I have heard from others that have played a lot more that it does get a bit grindy. I have seen some people on Twitter tweet me that they already have the legendary set.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at with the event. Generally speaking, it's been hard for me to be incentivized to get that Iron Banner set, to get the Solstice set, because I feel like this is too similar to the set we had last year.
It's the exact same set as we had last year.
Yeah. Well, it's aesthetically,
it's a little bit different. You got the $10 glows on there, which we didn't talk about. That's a little pricey,
that's the
right?
Same set of Solstice of Heroes 2018.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but this set can be, you know, upgraded to do like mod 2.0, right? Like these things.
Exactly. I don't,
that's your incentivization.
These actually, the actual sets you earn, I don't believe are, but when
it launches,
you can go to the, it's the postmaster it and then you get versions that are compatible.
I'll say this. I had a lot of fun. I liked, you know, grinding through the green set. I could see myself doing that for a while, but at the same time, my brain's also saying, but then you can't hang out with your wife. You can't. You can't like you can't take your bird photos that
it
you like to do.
All this makes sense
and,
now,
and
Destin.
At the end of the day, what are you going to walk away with incentivization wise? A cool armor set that's going to be obsolete October 1st.
Man, it's so weird to sit in this chair, having been married and with children for so long.
Yeah,
to see you actually process that in your brain now.
What was the joke that you saw on Reddit? Checklist simulator?
Oh, no. I was saying, I was like, like, I can't remember what it was. It was either a tweet or comment, but it's like, Destiny, kind of with a lot of these activities, has become to-do list the game.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And it's like, for me, I do like the fact that the armor is now going to be functional in the next season. That, honestly, is the main reason why I will grind for this. Mm-hmm. I would have been way less incentivized to grind for the armor because I do like it. But you know, last time you did it, and then you never wore it again because it wasn't upgradable or you didn't have any perks on it when they announced all the different stuff, you know, for Forsaken. So at least this armor looks nice, and you're going to be able to, like, you know, mod it and wear it in the future.
The biggest struggle with me with Destiny is I feel like they've sacrificed a lot of the storytelling with the last few updates, where we don't get a lot of narrative delivery. It's all like, it's all like sort of hinted at within the universe.
Right.
This is a model that Fortnite does extremely well. It all uses all environmental storytelling. Yeah,
plays in the game.
And honestly, I miss the days. Old Destin misses the days of Halo 3 and getting to experience that story of what is the conclusion of Halo 2. I waited all these years. Let's see what happens with Master Chief and Cortana and the Gravemind. What happens with them? Halo 5. Even though I don't like that campaign, I get to partake in this story. And then secondarily, there's this, you know, multiplayer aspect to it.
Yeah.
And Destiny has moved pretty far away from the storytelling lately. I hope it comes back in Shadowkeep with this large expansion, in that
they've moved away from it in a different way. Like,
they're delivering it differently, but in a way where you kind of have to dig
scale.
It's for
on a smaller scale too. Yeah. Like, if you think about the storytelling from Season of the Drifter, like, there's not a whole lot there because, I mean, you're going through the
you don't play
nine,
it and see it again either.
You don't play
right?
it again and see it again. It's like you go through the Invitation of the Nine, you know, on a week-to-week basis, and you don't get a cutscene every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, we can't expect Bungie to make, you know, just crazy cinematic cutscenes.
You get one at the beginning, you get one at the
exactly.
end, and that
so,
was it, right?
So, and, that, and that's it. So that, I think that that's more of a testament to what they're able to do with a, something like a, like the annual pass, where they can't deliver, you know, large cinematic cutscenes every 3 months.
Yeah. But leading, I will say that leading up to this, I've been just even, you know, watching Bife's channels and, you know, looking at like Eris and Toland and just leading up to, you know.
There's tons of interesting lore there. I know that. And I can go watch that on Bife's channel.
Exactly. But it's
but
not
I don't,
in the
I don't
game.
Even need to play Destiny.
Yeah, I know. And so you're right. It is one of those things where, from a narrative standpoint, I think that that's one of the biggest challenges with live service games in general. Now, you're saying like Fortnite does that pretty good. I think it's just a standpoint of when you have a bunch of story elements that are buried into either grimoire cards or triumphs or all these other things, that becomes the narrative delivery. And, I mean, what do we have in Destiny 1? We kind of didn't like it. We all laughed at it. It's like you're flying in with your ship, and then there's the dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's like I kind of missed that, but in a way.
I mean, I missed that because actually, it was at least something.
Right.
The thing is, like,
but when
talking
you
about
do
how
it
was terrible.
Right, but so that's my point.
Back then.
But when you do it over and over and over again, and that's what I was talking about with live service games, it becomes repetitive. And 9 times out of 10, we were always asking to skip that stuff. It's like, okay, we've woken the hive. I've seen this 50 million times. Let me just
they eventually did add the skit.
So I feel like that's kind of probably why that's happening. But
that was a great line, so I liked
it. It was really good.
Woken the heart.
It was good. It was way better with Dinklage.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was going to say something else, too, about I lost track a little bit. Sorry. About the no, it's okay, the armors. But, okay, I'm going to think of it. Come back.
Yeah, so just talking about the grind, generally speaking, it's like, actually hopped in today. I had a great time playing Destiny.
Yeah.
When I saw the grind in front of me, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to chase this. I already got this armor set, like, you know, last season. I already have the Iron Banner armor set and the grenade part. Like, I'm really not enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to continue doing things I don't enjoy for an armor set that I had already acquired in the past that they're you know, resurfacing.
Yeah.
So largely for me, it's been Like, that's what there is to chase right now.
Yeah. Light it up, the grenade part. They did tweak that, though, too, which was
nice. And that's actually a great segue, CJ, because they tweaked a few of the events, and I'm curious to hear how you guys think, or what you guys think about these. So let me just find the patch notes here really quick.
I'm assuming you didn't get through the Iron Banner quest, then.
No, I'm at the same part you are with grenades, and I just was like, I was getting grenade kills, but like it was a secondary explosion, so it wasn't counting. And I'm
Hunter
like,
struggle? Are you doing it with a hunter?
Doing it with a Titan.
Okay. Titan or Warlocks, you have it easy. Hunter struggle. Dear God, there is no hunter grenade here, that here kills anything in one hit almost. It's disgusting.
Go ahead. So here are a few of the changes. Gambit Prime and Reckoning reward rates will be highly increased. Great. They will also have bad luck protection to guarantee a drop after a set
amount
of
runs. Can we all just agree that bad luck protection just needs to be implemented
from
the beginning?
Yep.
Like, I'm not talking about like, I'm just talking about like,
because it's going to soften that armor grind that we all got.
Sorry to take it away. I just want to just address that. Like, every time something new comes out in Destiny, you know, like the drop rate of weapons or armor just seems pretty bad. And then at some point, Bungie's like, all right, we're adding bad luck protection. It's happened for like almost everything in that came out before.
But Activision's gone now, so.
Yeah, so it's like Bungie, please just put bad luck protection from the beginning so we don't have to deal with the constant struggle.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. In addition, Reckoning difficulty will be tuned to be more welcoming as you hunt for rewards. Mm-hmm. Great. Braytech schematics will no longer have a daily lockout and will give better chances toward weapons that players do not own.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but I've already done all of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, thanks. There's a lot of people still need it, but
yeah. Here's the rub. Mountaintop and Windigo pinnacle quests will become more accessible. Specific quest objectives will be tuned based on player feedback.
I mean,
which one for Mountaintop could that be? Which mystery quest step could you be discussing? Would it happen to be double kills?
Probably double kills.
Calculated with a grenade launcher? Trajectory. I mean, it's weird. Like,
are you weak at getting double kills with Fine Line?
Huh?
I said, are you weak at Fine Line?
Yeah, you've said this before, Brian. Well, I think I've probably even heard you say it as well, too. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to go and get these things right away because I know they'll tune in.
Malfeasance.
Yeah, Malfeasance. Exactly.
Like, I'll wait.
I got Malfeasance after the adjustment. Meatball. Yeah,
Malfeasance. Yeah. Dredgen.
Yeah.
Wendigo and Mountaintop. I waited.
Wendigo, though.
Wendigo's achievable.
Wendigo is way more achievable than Mountaintop, and I did that grind, and it was fine. Like, it takes a while, but it's just like, it was fine.
So here's the thing.
It's just plain.
Sorry. Yeah. In addition, as the season comes to a close, Menagerie chests will become more rewarding as Calcius fit. Again, addressing community feedback. It's excellent. It's excellent to hear that they're addressing it. I think people like Brian, who actually did the work. There are people out there who did the work for Mountaintop and Windigo. And I think they're probably going to be a little bummed to hear that it's going to be easier. I think it's still going to be challenging.
Yeah.
I think like if this keeps bumming you out, stop doing the chase early.
The debate. Like, that's what I was asking. Like, do you feel quote unquote robbed that you put in all the time and now it's going to be easier for other people? Because I don't.
I got to use it in these activities.
Yes.
You know, like, I got to use it in Crown of Sorrow. Where people are like, man, Mountaintop and Outrageous Fortune are these great weapons that you really want to bring into this raid, and so I got to use him in that time.
That's my take on it too, where it's like, you know, grinding for Lunas and all those other weapons that you're in PvP. I'm a few kills away from Revoker now. I mean, I heard it's not like a great sniper rifle, but I just wanted for the collection.
It's much more achievable than like Not Forgotten.
Yeah, way more achievable than
that's
Not Forgotten.
That's one gun I think I'll never get.
Well, it's just had a whole host of issues where you just couldn't connect and find like games. That's a different problem than, you know, you just not being able to play, you know, and just the game and achieve them. But it is one of those things where, there's a lot of these things now where I feel like even with Menagerie, right, in the chest updating, if they're going to change it back, it feels like a lot of the feedback that they're taking and tweaking is happening on a much faster cadence as well, I think, too. The only thing that's odd is that I think sometimes when they do major adjustments, people, I think, are still like concerned about the meta and supers, like One-Eyed Mask. There's still things like that people want tweaked.
God Roll One-Eyed Mask for sale this week. That's what I saw Reddit saying.
Exactly. And so then what happens is often they'll wait for so long, and then they'll make massive sweeping changes, and then the meta gets kind of destroyed in a weird way and jumbled, and you never know.
Bungie is known for waiting for like a big content drop to address these.
So many big changes. But but these are a bunch of, you know, nice little bite-sized ones that are coming up over the next few months. So it's pretty cool.
I'm glad they're making tweaks. I do kind of miss the days of running the raid to get the cool armor sets that were a status symbol.
Yeah.
For having.
The only downside again with that is I remember just everybody walking around the tower with Crota 32 gear on. So there was no chroma then. There was no, well, there was shaders, but there was just, yeah, everybody looked the same because you were all trying to, like, you know, show the same, flex the same gear. So
yeah, but with mod 2.0, I can have all that raid gear, but then I could just mod it with, I can just use those silly vampire.
That's
what
I mean. Yeah,
the warlocks from the.
I really think that mod 2.0 coming in Shadowkeep will actually, yeah, address that and you know, because the visual aesthetic of your guardian is, I think, a good chunk of the reason why people play. It does suck that 90% of all the good looking armor that I have has freaking bow ammo or something stupid that I don't want.
Yeah,
so I'm
indefinite
really excited that
bow holding.
Who was it? Friend of the show was saying that, like, oh, I did this and the armor was so bad. And then Cosmo responded and said, yeah, we should totally redo the armor system in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
It was Fallout Plays.
Oh, was it? Oh,
and he
yeah.
was just like, yeah. That was like, good.
Yeah,
that
were,
was
I think response. They were talking about the Eververse after. It's like, yeah, we put bad perks on those.
Oh, yeah, that too.
It's like, we know.
Yeah. Anyway,
oh, like when you were talking about the Eververse, like our just yeah. like we put bad perks in potentially.
Yeah,
I think that's largely all the topics that we really needed to cover off on this week. Some really, really good news. Is there anything I missed, you guys?
I just wanted to say one thing about the EAZ bosses.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I don't know if you guys have played it, but yesterday I was playing on the EAZ and there is a wizard boss
that splits
into two.
I got her today.
Yeah, she splits and like has this like, you know, you shoot her, you damage her a bunch, and then she splits between a void and a fire. Like,
yes.
And so she's like a ghostly thing. Apparition, and it's like it's something completely unique that I haven't seen in Destiny before, and I think that was great. I just wanted to mention that.
That was pretty cool.
I really like that, and I was like, oh, maybe they didn't have the stomp mechanic on this, and then I got stomped.
You got stomped. I go, yeah. Damn it.
I was like, ah, it's still there. They're so close.
Don't get too close, Destiny.
Yeah, sorry. I don't think that actually picks up.
Yeah.
So we hear feedback sometimes in our headphones, but it doesn't pick up.
So that's the reason why we're wearing it. If you do hear a pop or two, we got to make another little adjustment. And so we're going to tweak that for next week's episode. We are aware of it. I heard it twice in my earphones. So.
But for this week, I don't think that we have anything else to cover off with. But to recap, we got a cool event going on right now in Destiny. It's going to be going on for a while. You got more than enough time to get your armor sets if you want to take it slow and steady like I'm going to.
Yep.
There was a delay. Shadowkeep is now coming out October 1st. Bungie has good reasons for that.
Yep.
They want to make sure that it's a better launch for you guys, and they let us know first.
Yep.
We talked about the grind. We talked about that raid release date, which is, man, I can't wait to see how this ends up going. I'm really excited to see how many people are able to participate,
absolutely,
what it's going to be like with the new challenges and such.
Yep.
And that was the general look. And we have more time to play Borderlands, Brian.
I know. I'm very excited about that. It's been so long since I've been excited for a Borderlands game, and I'm very happy about
it. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. Until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.